The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help the normal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on The Gathering Radio Show.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to The Gathering Radio Show here on the Para-X Network. And this is Heidi.
And this is Stephanie. And how are you tonight, Heidi?
I am very well. And yourself?
I'm good, too. I'm good, too. Everybody's surviving the craziness, I'm guessing, and the isolation.
Here in the COVID-19 coronavirus lockdown and, you know, finding ways to still make it happen.
Absolutely. And we do.
We do. And thankful. Like, can you imagine if the internet didn't exist right now?
Oh, man. Wouldn't that be bad?
Well, I think it would be, there would be a whole bunch of reasons why it would be bad, because the exchange of information, mm-hmm. a lot of it's going mm-hmm. through the internet. So we just wouldn't mm-hmm. maybe know as much.
Yeah.
But also things to do like this, joining Para-X and listening to your favorite online radio show, The Gathering.
Yes. Yes.
Have that?
Fun. It's fun, right?
Lots of things to do through the internet.
I know. It's true. And, you know, they go outside, people, because it does help a whole bunch. You know, I've been, you know, going to the park every day almost, you know, to see my owls. Pretty soon those babies will be visible. I can't wait, you know. But we actually, three of us actually went out squatching this past weekend. Because I said, let's get out before they lock us down. And so we went and found some super cool stuff. So Carrie and I actually are going out again on Thursday. Katie was going to come, but Wisconsin's on lockdown now, so she can't come to Minnesota.
Yep.
And I'm not sure how that all works. Do they have National Guards at the state lines or what? I mean, you know, how
I don't
do they
think
do
that's
this?
How it's going to work. No,
I don't think so either. But you're not supposed to go anywhere other than the grocery store and the whatever. You know what I mean?
Right. Just essential travel, essential errands, you know, as long as that stuff mm-hmm. is staying open, which it is. And we're, mm-hmm. I'm so grateful. Like, I want to have a little party for people that work at the grocery stores and the banks and all that stuff. Like, stand outside. I can't have a party for them. I could stand outside with a banner saying, thank you being open. And thank you, delivery drivers. Thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh.
Absolutely. Yeah. And people keep going to your restaurants and buying food, you know, that, you know, you can pick it up at the curb or whatever, because they need it. If they don't get it, they're going to close, you know,
and we need to support.
It's not good. We need to support them. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As much as we can, because some people can't because they're not working either. So then, you know, other ways that you can support, you know, other people in your community somehow. But, you know, it's an interesting time and we're going to get through it. And it's just, I'm grateful, so grateful for the places that are still open.
Oh, me too.
And I know that, you know, it's going to be a challenge, but we will just get right through this.
We will. And, you know, it's funny. So, you know, every weekend we go to this little cafe here in town, Roman's Cafe. He's a friend of ours. And so since they've closed their doors, Casey went to get us breakfast to bring home because you can't eat there anymore on Sunday. And here were people sitting outside the restaurant in their car eating their breakfast. And there was like a few. Because, you know, it's just not the same if you're not there.
Well, that's so, like, fun. I mean, you can, it could be like everybody's car is a table. Right? You know, you run up, you grab your food, and you go back to your car and sit, and you can see all the people just like you were inside.
Yep.
That's cute.
Yep. Yes, yes. And we can have them kind of run out and wave at us every once in a while, and, you know. But, yeah, so people are finding inventive ways to still stay connected, you know, and you do the wave, and, you know, like my sister is a little compromised immune system, so we don't want to be near her, but we do kind of drive by and say, we're driving by now, wave, and roll down the window. So, yeah, it's craziness for sure, but it's, you know, it's fun. It's all good.
Yep. Yeah, we'll get through it. Just, we have to stay home. I mean, that's really what's going to help is people stay home. Like, really. Don't be thinking this is no joke, man. Stay home. And I understand that most people that do come in contact with the virus and get sick, they recover. You know, they'll get through it. Just like getting the flu or something else that's really kind of nasty. There's, you know, things that you need to do to get through it, but most people will get through it. But my goodness, stay home anyway, just to not pass it around. And, you know, because you may not know you have it for a while. And then you might have already come in contact with other people. And oh, my gosh. So, yeah.
Yeah. And stay 6 feet away, really. Yeah. I mean, you know, if you go out and about, stay 6 feet away. Keep your distance, whatever.
Yeah. You don't, like you said, you don't want to come in contact with someone that is compromised because there are, there are deaths with this. And we want to make sure that we keep that as low as possible by not getting out there and getting in contact with people because we just don't want to pass it around. So
absolutely. So enough of that, because we hear it's, you know, just shoved down our throats 24/7. So and wash your hands. Okay, I'm just gonna say one more. Wash your hands. That's the other thing, you know. So we have a fun subject to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about ley lines. And, you know, the other subjects that comes to mind with ley lines for me is, you know, like the continental divides and Laurentian. We have the Laurentian divide right here in Minnesota. Not that they're the same, but different, right? So we'll start out with ley lines. I don't really know a lot about them, except they're like the Earth's energy grid, right? They're, you know,
there's debate on that.
Yeah.
I mean, and for everything that I do in my work and, you know, just the, you know, intuitive stuff, whatever, I love to be the devil's advocate with this stuff. If I could even say it, I thought it would be nice. But I like to be the devil's advocate with this kind of stuff because I like to look at all sides of things. So I'm not just going to say, oh, ley lines are ley lines, they're real and whatever, because I don't think there's any way that you could prove that a ley line exists. It's a recent, you know, discovery within the last 100 years or so that we started putting this together. And then now there have been maps made, right? You can look up maps online and probably books too, I guess, and of ley lines. But there isn't, as far as I know, any kind of scientific evidence or proof. Not that we need it. There's lots of things that I believe exist that science hasn't proven yet. But there really isn't anything to quantify ley lines at this point scientifically, I don't believe.
No, because they've went along the ley lines the scientists had with, you know, like all the same things that we use for ghost huntings, and they haven't been able to detect energy, which is, you know, interesting. Mm-hmm. But of course, people who are sensitive to energies say that they can feel them. But, you know, one of the things I read to describe ley lines is that it talks about, you know, how we have our own energy centers, you know, the chakras and stuff. It's saying that Mother Earth also has hers. And then, of course, the ley lines are in between all of those different little sources. So quite interesting, actually, you know, and all these ley lines seem to be on all these big ancient, you know, things like, you know, Stonehenge and the Egyptian pyramids and, you know, the Aztec down in Peru, you know, they all kind of are in this grid. So how does this work? What, you know?
Right. And I mean, I can't say I'm not an expert in this, but just from what I know, and when they look at ley lines, or at least this is my understanding, and, you know, feel free to anyone in the chat room to correct if you have another opinion. But you look at all these ancient locations or these historic locations or natural earth formations, and you start lining them up and you see that there's a lot of them that can line up. Well, I mean, there's also a theory to, you know, you could pick any one of them and make a line between two of them and then say that's a ley line, because you can line any two points up and make a line, right? Yeah. And so, you know, some people are saying, well, that's just, you know, anything can make a ley line. And anything that happens to fall in between that, you could say, oh my gosh, look at all those things that someone put there on purpose. It's a ley line. And that isn't necessarily true. But also, we, you know, when you look at the ley lines or what we think might be ley lines, that you find all these historic or, you know, different kind of monuments or megaliths or earth formations, and how some of them, and I'll say more of like the made ones, not necessarily the earth formations, but the made ones might be following more of the constellations,
yeah,
planets. Mm-hmm. You know, so they, you know, humans have been lining that up for a long time, have been forever. Making, you know, they put the pyramids or whatever in mm-hmm. places that line up with certain constellations or solstices or equinox or whatever. And so I think that there is some energy, you know, with that, you know, and especially the intention of the created place, you know, like you mentioned Stonehenge, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's mm-hmm. this energy there, and then why it was put there, you know, for solstice or equinox or,
yep.
you know, star mapping or whatever, you know, that would have some energy just anyway, you know, with yes. the intention of how it was created, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So now you actually start creating something that maybe there wasn't anything there before that would be yeah. considered a legit ley line, but maybe we create them by the things that we're putting on the planet, and then they happen to line up with certain, like Mount Everest or, mm-hmm. you know, Ayers Rock from Australia, yeah. stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I think it's interesting for sure
mm-hmm.
that I, mm-hmm. you know, that you can line all these, monuments up and start creating a line, and then look at the energy the energy of the monument that was created. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's interesting.
Yeah. Well, I do too. And then the other question is, you know, did people build these ancient things, ancient monuments and stuff on places that they had already felt energy? You know, they could feel energy like, yeah, I'm sure ancient people could feel it just like we do. You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Well, and they're tracking, you know, stars and constellations and things like that. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. even if you think of constellations too, we created lines for the stars. There was nothing that said this is the constellation Sagittarius, you know, when humans showed up. We made that. We connected the dots, you know, so to speak, and created those constellations,
mm-hmm.
however we did that. And so same thing, I think we're creating these lines through what we find that we've made, but some of it mm-hmm. lines up with the stars and certain pathways, and I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Kat in the chat room said that she heard ley lines can move.
Hmm.
I don't know. I would assume. And I don't know if maybe do they move or are new ones created? You know, if we're using these historical markers or monuments or whatnot to create ley lines or form ley lines, maybe new ley lines are added, you know, because mm-hmm. then how would that move? I'm just asking because I'm asking because I think it's an interesting question. Interesting question that, you know, ley lines, would they move or would new ones be created if, I don't like why they would be created?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I don't know, because they're saying in everything I've read, you know, they're kind of going on the Earth's has different points of energy, and so of course anybody can take a ruler and make these straight lines, and just so happens that a lot of these ancient sites are built within those lines. Creating a ley line, though, I don't really know. That's interesting.
So Kat put a vortex map on in the chat room, and she goes, here's something if anybody's interested. And I don't know, vortexes, we actually talked about that last week, so I'm clicking on it, and I probably shouldn't because I'm looking at it and not talking, and on a radio show. So I'm like, ooh,
yeah, I know. We did that last week too.
Yeah, it's like, oh, this is interesting. Keep talking stuff. I'm gonna do this instead. So
it is. I found a couple of really good articles about ley lines. Neither one of them mentioned moving ley lines, but that doesn't mean that it can't happen, right? The one actually has a map of the chakras of Mother Earth, for example, which is really cool, actually. Mm-hmm. You know, it talks about, you know, like in North America, it's the root chakra, and then it goes, it's a really cool map, actually. you know, it's just very interesting. Okay, so, but my question is, okay, they're energy lines. So what does that translate to? Do supernatural things happen on these ley lines? What exactly is the big deal?
Yeah, I don't know. Sorry if you heard that noise, that was my dog, not me. So I don't know, because some people have said that they feel the energy on the ley lines, but is, mm-hmm. you know, are they standing in a place that's in between maybe some of these historical markers, mm-hmm. or are they at the historic marker or whatever it is, the monument, mm-hmm. and they say that they feel it there, because would you stand in between them at some regular old, you know, field? Spot on the map, whatever, and say, mm-hmm. oh, I can totally feel it. Would you feel it? Or are you thinking you're going to feel it because you believe you're standing at a ley line? Or, yeah. So I don't know. I guess it'd be interesting if anybody, you know, has consciously been to a ley line or gone, you don't just stand on it. I guess it's not just one little skinny line.
No,
but if you've been in a place, you know, let us know in the chat room, because I'm curious what you would say, that you felt, you know, if you felt anything.
So are there, I'm guessing there must be some in Minnesota, yes. Do we know? I read something about there's one that kind of crisscrosses the state from like Kitty Corner, from like southeastern Minnesota to northwestern Minnesota, but now I haven't been able to find that map again. I kind of saw it.
I looked
it
up a long time ago.
Yeah.
I thought I saw the same thing, and I don't know that I've remember seeing anything that had anything interesting. Like, it looked like it went through Minnesota to connect other things, but nothing in mm-hmm. Minnesota, mm-hmm. which, you know, it's kind of weird, because you think, Lake Superior is a pretty interesting and amazing energy spot. So would that be, you know, it's huge though. So would there be mm-hmm. a bunch of energy lines running through it? I guess I haven't looked at a map lately.
I haven't either. So, but I did see it. Like, it looked like it was almost like on the western, more like by Alexandria or something, but I didn't see actual cities. And then I was doing something else and I lost whatever I was looking at. You know how that happens.
Mm-hmm. Down the rabbit hole.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, so you wonder, so what exactly happens on these lines? And so energy is, you know, lots of things can happen with energy, you know, the vortexes, we can talk about portals to the other side, you know, all kinds of stuff. But so is that what we're really talking about? Is that why people are so engrossed in this whole ley line philosophy?
Yeah, I don't know. I was answering a question for Karin's talking about Sherry's thing. She said, what if shifting ley lines relate to the rise of great civilizations and religions? I guess it's possible. I mean, again, we're talking about something that isn't proven, although we have a lot of things that aren't proven that we mm-hmm. all believe in. So if we're believing in ley lines, I would assume, if they shift, they could maybe shift and give energy to certain civilizations or, like Sherry said, religions or whatever that allow, you know, that energy to infuse those people, that maybe give them some kind of guidance or mm-hmm. communication or strength or energy. Like, I don't know. But it's an interesting thought.
Mm-hmm. Well, then, so I was just searching for maps of ley lines. And so then they're talking about magnetic ley lines in America.
Mm-hmm.
So is that the same thing as these other ley lines? I just wonder, because there's one that's just like right over the Twin Cities that go straight out east. And then there's one that goes through all of the Great Lakes, pretty much. It starts in Maine, and it's like straight across to Duluth, which that's pretty interesting.
You can find that one.
So, magnetic ley line.
Well, and I don't know that in what I've been researching anyway, just getting ready for the show, that there is any kind of proof that there's any kind of magnetism to them. Like, you know, in you go to these lines and you have anything that can be measured that way. So I think some of it's just an intuitive sense of, mm-hmm. you know, thinking you can feel something different or mm-hmm. feeling like, you know, you're sensing something that's shifted outside of the norm.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Joe is saying there's a mountain in Italy. Where did he say the rest of it? It's pieced together here. We've got a lot of stuff going on in the chat room, which is super cool.
Yeah.
I'm losing track of stuff, so sorry. He said there's a mountain in Italy that lines up on ley lines that has UFOs seen around it.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah.
Oh, well, said it was on the History Channel. Ancient Aliens. Well, of course, I love that show. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't heard of that before, but could that be connected as well? If you're looking at, extraterrestrial activity and energy lines on the planet, could that be something that, if you want to believe? And I know you're not a huge fan of the alien thing stuff.
But as I was researching this whole topic, then it started talking about these ley lines and how they connect with, the plains of Nazca, where they have the big, if you look at them from an aerial view, it's, like the birds and the thunder, all that stuff. And how that is on a line from the pyramids of Egypt, And how were all these, so here's my thing. How were all these constructed? They're huge. It's amazing. How did these ancient peoples construct these to begin with?
Yeah, and I actually was watching a show, I don't know what it was, not Lost Places. It was something on the History Channel about how they made the pyramids. So it's interesting you brought that up because I was just watching it. It was a rerun. Was it? I don't know. It doesn't matter. But they were using the ancient techniques of, making these, the bricks, right? Or whatever they're called. It's not a brick. It's a huge 2.5-ton slab of something that they used to put these pyramids together. And so they had this little boat that they made from plans that they found somewhere. They made this boat, and then they made, they had someone cut out in this quarry, hand cut the slab, and then they have to get this slab on this boat, not have the boat tip over, because the way the boat was designed, it's just flat on top. There's no, I don't know. I'm like, I don't know how they did it. I'm sure they could have. But you had to have some serious math skills to put all this stuff together with the stars in the heavens and lined up with certain,
How do you do that?
I think it's fascinating. I'm sure that they did it somehow. But then there's people that say, oh, did aliens help them? Or, were there the giants? That's some
people. Oh, the giants. Yep.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. Well, and then, when we talk about aliens, there's that whole thought that anybody with an Rh negative blood is part alien, right? Part extraterrestrial, because there's only 5% of the world population that has negative Rh. And guess who happens to have negative Rh?
That doesn't surprise me.
Me.
I know.
So, it's kind of weird. I don't know.
Yeah. The whole thing, I think, is really fascinating. Karen's saying, I think a road trip to Sedona would be awesome.
Yeah.
I think it was it Wolf saying, I've been to some of the vortexes in Sedona, and the locals brought Wolf to some power spots. And yeah, it's awesome down there. If you haven't been to Sedona, it's neat. But there's, you go to different places anywhere, like Minnesota. We've been in the investigating when we're out looking for Sasquatch, and we come to these areas that we go, what is happening here? It feels totally different.
Yeah. Sure. And, we seem to always find these energy spots when we're out in the woods. So what does that mean exactly? Isn't that, it's very interesting, actually. And like I said, we just found another one this weekend when we were out. We found this new structure and a new arch. And under this arch, there was energy happening. And so, what is that? It'd be fun for us to take a map of these investigations that we've done. And when we find these energies, plot them out on a map and see if they're like a straight line. Seriously, we should do this.
That's interesting.
Really wild. It would be interesting just to find out what's going on,
Go for it. I'll let you do it.
I do like the whole road trip idea. After the quarantine, maybe the Squatchers need to go on the road trip and find all this cool stuff. Wouldn't that be fun? We could get a Squatcher mobile.
Squatch mobile. Well, after the quarantine, that's all I'm saying. We've got a whole line of stuff running here in the chat room. It's almost hard to keep up with it, but it's awesome. So keep it going. I haven't been to anywhere that I'm aware of other than if it's a historic, it's a monument or some kind of site. And I wasn't aware, I guess, that there was a ley line there, but I've probably been to what would be considered ley lines, just being at those places.
Yeah.
And just from my own experience, yeah, it feels different there for sure. You know, you go to these places and you go, what the heck is here? Like, what's going on here? And I'm not talking just in Sedona. I'm, you know, and you go to places like I've been to, I don't know how many ruins I've been to in Central America, Mayan ruins. And there is so much energy in these places. It's crazy. But it's probably, I wonder if it's kind of also like, is it like paranormal investigating where you go to something that's been investigated so often that now it has its own energy just from that. So, but I think these places had it before because they built these cities and these temples and for all sorts of, you know, things. So I don't know. I think the energy was there because they built it, and being built and having these people be there and worship or whatever they were doing.
Sure.
I don't know. The energy is totally different. I've been to some really cool ruins, and they're really, it's really powerful.
Yeah, for sure. Yes, so you wonder, so is it the energy of the earth that you're feeling there, or all of these energies of all these people that created this place and have been there for all these years? You know, like you said, and then supernatural energy, other side, you know? I mean, yeah, it's kind of mind-blowing when you think about it. Yeah, or all of the above, a combination of all of them. Maybe even extraterrestrial energy, right? You know, maybe. How could they have made those? Okay. You know, even as a kid, the thing that got me the most was the plains of Nazca and those images that you can only see from way an aerial view, right? Mm-hmm. Those are amazing. You know, it's like a big spider and there's one that's like, you know, a bird. I mean, how would somebody 2,000 years ago know how to do that, or 3,000 or 4,000 years ago? You know, I don't even know the numbers anymore, but
well, it's
too long.
Math. I mean, that's how I would imagine that's how they do it. They're using possible, you know, the constellations and or math and they can figure it out. I mean,
oh, I suppose that would be mind-boggling.
But it's impressive nonetheless.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, absolutely. I mean, you think of these sites too, like when I went to Tikal in Guatemala, that was like, you go there and you go, seriously? When you don't have modern equipment or machinery to move this stuff around, just like you were saying with the Egyptian pyramids, I mean, this is the Mayan version of it, right? And you think, how in the world? And they line up the different buildings within this area to line up with different astrological formations or whatever. And it's like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, you guys figured this out. And, but I mean, why would we look at them as, you know, not intelligent? Of course they were intelligent, just like we, you know, have intelligence today. I know sometimes that begs to differ sometimes, but you know, it's you know, we look at them like they shouldn't be as smart just because it was thousands of years ago. It's just, I wonder how they did it without the equipment that we have today to move some of this stuff. That's what I think is curious. I'm curious about that.
Well,
but
and
honestly,
like
they did it
well. But how? Because like even Dave is saying, we don't even have the technology to build the pyramids today, you know, for what we've, you know, so how do we, how did they do that? I mean, it's just all the unknown, right? Unknown.
Well, and you know, again, if we factor in the alien piece of it, you know, are we given information that we wouldn't normally have and, you know, given some kind of code to energy lines or whatever, and then here's where you build, you know, so what if it was, when we had some kind of assistance,
yes,
you know, to give us these plans and these ideas, or I don't know. So,
yeah, I know it's fascinating. It is.
So maybe that's why we wouldn't understand how to do it today, because we didn't have the help, or we don't know that there's that help that was had, you know, that they had before.
Well, exactly.
You know, so could it be aliens that came, gave us the plans, gave us the help, show us how to do it, and then let us be with our own devices after that, you know, take off and watch from a distance and see what we do.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's amazing. It's mind-boggling.
I don't know. I think we don't give them enough credit with how smart they were and all the math that was involved and using the constellations too. I think that factors into it. But it's interesting as heck.
Yeah, crazy. You know, so, it's 8:30.
We need to take a break. So. Yeah.
So we will, so we will be back in 2 minutes. This is The Gathering on the Para-X Radio Network.
Demons. Vampires. Monday nights at midnight on the Staring Into the Abyss radio show. Come, get lost with us.
Heidi, what are you listening to? Heidi? Heidi? Oh, hey, Steph.
Hey.
What has your attention? Oh, I'm listening to Para X, the calling radio show. Have you ever heard of it?
No, I haven't. What's it all about?
Well, it's hosted by three guys, Jerry, Alan, and Will, and they talk about paranormal investigations, UFOs, cryptozoology, psychic phenomenon, all sorts of stuff.
Oh, well, it's kind of like The Gathering, but on Wednesday, right?
Yep, you got it.
The Calling.
The Calling.
The Calling.
The Calling.
The Calling. The Calling radio show every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time only on
light to shine so brightly, the darkness must be present. Tune in every Monday at 10 o'clock for Dark Sunrising on the Para X Radio Network.
Welcome back to The Gathering here on the Para X Network, and we're talking about ley lines tonight and having all sorts of discussions here on the show through the chat room. It's like, wow, all sorts of good stuff here. People are liking their ley line discussions,
oh,
that's for
yes.
sure.
Yes.
I know.
Everybody
it is fun.
Good ideas. Yeah, it is fun because we just don't know, right? It's kind of cool. And I mean, there's all kinds of thoughts out there and what they are and what they do. And now we were talking before the break, we were talking about the building of the pyramids and the as the plains of Nazca, those maps. I mean, you know, it's just there's all kinds of wonders around the world, right?
Yeah. You know, we were talking about the hows, like how in the world did they make this stuff and how do they know where to make it, you know, and we're looking at ley lines and stuff and we were saying, how do they move these big stones to get the pyramids made and stuff? And Kat had said during our break, she said in the chat room, some people can survive pretty well on their own. Others are clueless because they rely on high tech things like we do now.
Yeah,
and so that's
sure.
true. I mean, we don't think like we used to think because we have so many things at our disposal. So yeah, I can see where, you know, you have to do things a different way. And that was just the normal back then, or you had help from giants or aliens maybe.
That's right.
Cause we just don't know.
Cause we don't.
Or we do know. Or we do know that we had help from aliens and giants and that was it.
yeah. I don't know. But it's fascinating stuff all the way, you know, and there are so many things that we don't know how they were, you know, even Stonehenge. Come on, Stonehenge, those rocks are ginormous. How did they move those things, you know?
Right. I mean,
I think that's what I find
interesting.
It'd be pretty hard to move today, even with our big cranes and everything, you know? So how did they do that? I don't know how old Stonehenge is either, but it's old. I mean, how did they do it back in those days, you know?
And I'm sure that obviously they had to somehow, and we probably can't fathom it because we're so reliant on, you know, like Kat said, technology and machines and equipment and stuff that we wouldn't even understand, where then it was like, well, this is how you do it, you know? And things are different too. There's water in places where there wasn't, and there is no, there's no water where there used to be too. And so I know like in the show that they were telling us they were taking boats to get some of these slabs of,
big blocks,
of stone
certain
distances, and they don't have the water necessarily there anymore or in the same places anymore. You know, you put dams or you reroute rivers and stuff like that. So anyway, so there's changes too that I know that would have factored in back then.
And then Karen is saying she's wondering how ley lines also fit with drainage divides like the Laurentian Divide and the St. Lawrence Divide, and of course the Continental Divide, which we talked about that before the show, and I'm just like, you know, they kind of fascinate me too, right? Because if you go to one of those places, the water goes this way, and there is kind of an energy at those places as well. So, yeah, how do they? I mean, they must all run around together, right? I mean, they all have something to do with each other, I would think, personally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have no idea. I have no idea because I don't know this topic in depth, of course.
Yeah.
What I do know, I want to, my own connection with ley lines, so to speak, is when I was looking for a spot for my studio, and I don't know if I've talked about this on the show. If I have, it hasn't been for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I was looking for a spot for the studio. And you know how you go into a place and you just feel the energy of it and you know it's right or it's not right?
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
So I'm doing all this, right? And I'm like going into certain places and absolutely not. I'd get in the parking lot and know it wasn't right. Mm-hmm. Even if it looked great on the outside, but I just knew energy's not right and I'm going to be doing a lot of energy work in here. The energy has to be a certain way. And I didn't even know what to say. Like, how do you describe like what way it has to be? I don't know. You just had to feel it. And it was funny because where my studio is at, the building that it's at, there's a little room. It was 250 square feet, I think. My first year, mm-hmm. I don't know if you ever, were you in
that
first one? Yeah.
Yep.
So, and this was what, 6 or 7 years ago. And so I moved in there and it was this little room. It was dark. It was in this older office building, which I'm still in the office building. It's this older office building, you know, nothing modern, fancy. It reminded me of church offices. Like when you walk in, it kind of had that smell of like books mm-hmm. and musty a little bit, like older. And I'm like, nothing about this says this is where I should have my studio, but something felt right. And so I went into that room because it was the only one that they had available that I could afford.
Yeah.
And I walked in and I went, oh my God, this is it. And what was weird is when I was standing in there, I could see an energy, like I could actually see an energy line running through it. And what was really cool is that I ended up putting my table at an angle. So I moved my table at an angle, which didn't really fit with the space. I had it, I tried to fight it for a while and I kept it lined up with the walls, right? Because mm-hmm. that makes sense and that's planful. And mm-hmm. so I had it lined up perpendicular or parallel, I guess, to one wall and perpendicular mm-hmm. to another. And it fit kind of in the little corner where I could get around it. But it never felt right there. So I ended up having to move it into the middle of my room at an angle. And because it landed in this energy line that I could see. And the energy line, so it's interesting because who was it? Was it Kat or Sherry? Someone said, you know, do they move? Well, this energy line would move like it wasn't very wide. It wasn't very mm-hmm. wide at all. It was probably 5 feet wide. If I could mm-hmm. put measurements on it, I would say about 5 feet wide, but it would mm-hmm. shift between 2 and 3 feet to either side, right?
Yeah.
So within this 5 foot area, it was shifting back and forth, but it would definitely move. Mm-hmm. And I needed my table in this energy line.
Yeah.
So I had to put my table at a stupid place in the room that didn't make sense at all. And it was hard to navigate around. So I'd have to move it when someone was coming in for something else, you know, because it just didn't work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what was interesting is I outgrew the space after a couple years. And so I wanted to stay in the building because I said, I want to see if I could stay in this energy line. And there was a unit above my office that I was in.
Yeah.
And it had been open the whole time I was there. No one had ever occupied the space. And what was interesting is there was a room exactly above my Reiki, my studio, my whole studio. There was one room that was almost the same size directly above my studio mm-hmm. that I was like, oh my gosh, that could be just the Reiki room. And then I could have the table. And so I did, I moved upstairs mm-hmm. and I have my table at an angle. So it stays in this energy line because mm-hmm. it is beneficial to the Reiki sessions.
Mm-hmm.
You're in this energy line while you're doing Reiki sessions. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is when I describe people how it looks, like when I say this is how it looks, what I tell people is imagine you're on one side of a frosted glass wall. And there's enough light coming through it so that when you see someone walk by on the other side, you can see the shadow of them, but you can't tell if it's a man or a woman. You can just tell it's a person walking mm-hmm. on the other side of the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it looks like. When I look at this energy line, that's what it looks like. It looks like you're looking at a frosted wall and you can see things moving mm-hmm. in it. Like mm-hmm. they're on a, what are those? A moving sidewalk or something, or they're moving and walking in this, maybe a tunnel that's got mm-hmm. frosted glass on both sides, and you can go in it and you can feel it, but you can't see it when you're in it. But I can see it from the outside of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool.
Yeah, interesting. And you have, well, we've always talked about how you have so much energy in that studio. And even mm-hmm. in your first little room, you know, there was a lot of stuff going on down there too. So,
but
yeah.
Since I've seen that one, what's interesting, since I've seen that one in my studio, I've seen them in other places too. Because what I think, how I would describe, and like when we're doing paranormal investigations, it looks like, mm-hmm. almost like shadow people walking, but mm-hmm. it's just, I don't know, it's just different. So I've seen these energy lines when I've been doing paranormal investigations, but also when I'm like sitting with someone having coffee, I'll be mm-hmm. looking and I see this frosted glass wall and I see movement behind it. I'm like, oh my God, there's like an energy line over there. Like just random, like cutting through a coffee shop or something. Yeah,
I have to pay attention because, you know, I see weird stuff like that all the time. And I'm like, okay, my mind is playing tricks on me. Now I'm going to have to pay attention, I think, from now on and see what's going
on. Yeah, it's interesting. You know? And I don't see them very often. But mm-hmm. when I do see them, it's clear. I can see mm-hmm. it clearly. And I'm like, oh my gosh, there's an energy line. And then I just want to go up to like whoever owns the place and say, do you know there's an energy line here? You know what you should do is you should put this over here and really utilize this energy because it could be so beneficial. But then they might think I'm nuts. But
oh yeah, they would look at you like you had two heads, you know.
Maybe. It wouldn't be the first time.
But. No, I know, right? Oh my gosh. So yeah, interesting stuff. So yeah, so I don't know, but I do think, you know, I've often, you know, when we've been up to Karin's house too, I've said, we have to go to the Laurentian Divide. Cause I know it crosses Northern Minnesota and it comes from, and they say weird things happen there. You know, we've went by it a few times too in the Chippewa Forest. I just think it's a cool thing to try to, it's got to have energy there too, you know? So mm-hmm. crazy things could happen there too.
Yeah, I don't know. Karin's put a picture or a link up, I'm sorry, in the chat room of mm-hmm. the continental divides and in the Americas anyway. And yeah, it's interesting. You know, you wonder, there's got to be some energy lines with those. Well, there, of mm-hmm. course there is, because that is energy as well. And so, you know, how does that factor into it? I guess I don't know, but the energy around that you'd think would be more intense, like you were saying.
Yeah. You know,
feel it.
Oh yeah, for sure. Well, yeah, because then they say if you can find the exact spot, what I've always heard is if you can find the exact spot of one of the continental divides or Laurentian divide, that if you poured a glass of water, half of it would go one way and half of it would go the other way. Now, isn't that wild? That's what I've been told. Now, whether it's true or not, I'm not really sure, but it's a pretty, so I've always wanted to do that for sure at some point.
Yeah, for sure.
But I do think as far as the supernatural things, I think probably it would be a good place to look for those things as well.
Well, yeah, for sure. Because, you know, you've got this energy anyway. Could it be also used to amplify or magnify some kind of vortex mm-hmm. or portal? You know, mm-hmm. a portal can be, if it's created, then could it be, you know, created there because the energy is stronger, so then it's amplified? And then here we, you know, so then you could be used for interdimensional travel or multidimensional travel, however you want to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's
mm-hmm.
cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I think this summer we need to investigate this, guys. Can I just say, we'll have to look mm-hmm. for Bigfoot around there. Cause I bet, you know, you just never know. There's lots of reports up in that area. She was just telling me there's a marker near Marcel and I'm like, oh, that's where I've seen it. Cause I knew I've seen one recently. So we were just, Marcel is south of Big Fork, which of course we were just there a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
And there's lots of people were telling us stories about Bigfoot south of Big Fork, which is where close to Marcel is. So isn't that interesting?
I got to quit reading the chat room. Cause
I know, me talking. Too, right? Because I'm here.
I'm trying to keep up. I'm like, God, there's so much chatter in the chat room, which is awesome. It's just I'm not used to having to keep up with all of it. So, you guys.
It's really fun.
Yeah, it does get us all down. You can go down so many rabbit holes with this, with the ley lines and energy lines and different, you know, historic monuments and all. It's like crazy. But, you know, it's something that I guess it's been around for a long time because, mm-hmm. you know, if you think of ancient civilizations building this stuff along, you know, building these monuments along astrological pathways and whatever. It's, you know, that I think is how this comes all together, you know.
Oh, yes. Oh, sure. And it's all over the world. And in different places of the world, they call them different things. And I'm trying to find that little tidbit that I found too. But they don't always call them ley lines. So,
right. Karen in the chat room is saying, has anyone doused for local ley lines? I don't know. And how might that differ from finding waterways? She said, well, and that's the thing. It's like when you're doing dowsing, you kind of don't know really what you're hitting on when you're doing, you're working with divining rods, you know, because right. I've worked with divining rods quite a bit. Okay. And could you be getting a hit because, yeah, there's water or some other, you know, energetic source that may not be actually like what we would think is a ley line, but it could be something else. So then I guess it would you'd have to start marking and tracking. Like we were talking about earlier, you have to start marking where you get these hits and start making it map it out to see if you actually have some kind of line or I don't know.
Yeah, I think that would be really fascinating. I'm gonna work on that to see where we've documented where we've all felt this. So it would be really fun to put it all on a map and find out if there's any correlation to any of them, you know, or any ley lines or the Laurentian divide, or I think, you know, the one that we felt up north in the Chippewa Forest, I think that's pretty close to the Laurentian divide, if I'm not mistaken, but I don't know that for sure. I'd have to look at a map, but.
Right. Yeah.
Very interesting.
But could there be other, like here I'm talking about my studio with this energy line, could there be other energy lines that wouldn't be considered mapped ley lines? You know, people have mapped out these ley lines. Could there just be regular old, good old energy lines that wouldn't be on anybody's map or radar, but are still, you know, have some powerful energy? Because I totally make use of this energy line, and I am purposeful on why my studio is there and how I have my table laid out, because it is with intention to, just like, you know, I was going to say, just like the ancient people put up the pyramids. Oh, I will not equate myself with that. But, you know, I'm doing kind of the same thing in my own little world here, in my own little headspace. Right. I'm using that line with intention for good, you know, and so I'm not trying to compare myself. Thank you very much. But I'm doing the same kind of thing. You know, I'm saying, hey, there's energy here and let's maximize this for something very cool. So.
Yeah. Absolutely. So I'm reading this little blurb that I found here, and it's talking about different kinds of lines. So ley lines is among them, but they're talking about curry lines too. So curry lines, it says, are approximately 3 meters apart and run diagonally to the poles and then east and west. Okay, that's interesting. Hartmann lines run both east and west and north and south, forming a grid across this Earth's surface with a distance of about 2 meters in the north-south direction and 2.5 meters in the east-west direction. And then ley lines are man-made energy lines. Okay, it says ley lines are man-made.
Well, yeah, that would make sense because...
created by stone formations, such as stone ships or other ancient archaeological structures. The knowledge of creating ley lines is supposed to be lost. Of course. That's how they built all these things, because that knowledge is gone somewhere.
Well, I think they weren't they using, like we said, the astrological pathways and, you know, constellations and equinox and solstices and stuff. So I think that's why we talked about that earlier, about it being a created thing, because it's based on things that we have put on this planet, you know, historical markers and whatnot, or now they're considered historical markers. But anyway... Yeah, that's interesting. I hadn't heard of the other one. What was that called again?
Curry lines. So it's talking about curry lines, and it said that it's a mystic force field similar to Otic force, Mana, and Kui, and I'm not sure what that is. Maybe you know what that is. That covers the Earth at regular intervals and can be detected by dowsing using a divining rod. It's not supposed to be detectable by common scientific instruments, but some still connect it to telluric currents, which are actual phenomena detectable by scientific instruments. Placing people or other living things in certain spots of the Earth radiation knots is believed to be beneficial or harmful depending on the radiation flow of that direction. It connects to the Gaia philosophy and Vitalist School and is very popular in certain New Age circles and in Europe and specifically in Germany. So that's the Curry lines. Hartmann lines is naturally occurring charged lines running north, south, east, west, and it was named after Dr. Ernst Hartmann, a well-regarded German medical doctor who first described it after the Second World War. So those are naturally occurring, and the ley lines are something that's connecting all these man-made things, right?
Mm-hmm.
The stone thing. So interesting stuff.
I'm looking up Hartmann line, and they're saying the intensity of the Hartmann line increases during the night. Therefore, the effects on human health occur especially during the hours of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I've not heard of this. I think that's interesting.
It is really interesting. And then it says, also is talking about that both Curry grids and Hartmann net are earthing grids for cosmic rays that constantly bombard the earth, and that they can be distorted by other things such as geological fault lines and mm-hmm. underground mining. It is also possible to have spots where the Curry and Hartmann lines cross, causing further potential problems. These spots are generally seen to be more detrimental than single crossing within the Curry or Hartmann system. That's pretty fascinating stuff.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting. They have a diagram on this page that I'm on that they show how they have these lines running through. They have a little layout of a bedroom, right? Mm-hmm. And so these lines, they're running, every 2.5 meters? And
yeah.
So they have this layout of this bedroom, and it makes sense, too, and I know that there's other factors, but how you have your bed. So they have this one original, and then they have the new version of this bedroom where the lines are running, like two of them are running right through the middle of this bed, and they shift the bed to another side of the room, and it's mostly out of the lines. And I think about a friend of mine who has a line running through her house, and I'm like, you know, I could see this energy line running through her house, and I said, and she has a hard time sleeping, and I'm like, you move your bedroom to this other room, and she hasn't yet. And I don't blame her because it would be a project, but I'm like, I wonder if you'd sleep better if you moved your room mm-hmm. to this other room where there isn't. Now, it's not 2.5 meters. I don't know how this would all factor into it, but I just seeing the one energy line, like the one that I have seen before, and they're all a little bit different, like what kind of energy is running through them. But I thought if mm-hmm. it's disruptive to your sleep, maybe moving your room, you know, your bedrooms, flip-flopping the two bedrooms and, you know, moving then your bed, of course, would give her a better night's sleep. So I don't know. I do believe that there's a lot of different kinds of energy lines. It's cool to see this because I haven't seen this before with mm-hmm. the Hartmann lines and the Curry lines.
That's very cool. Yeah. Well, and that makes sense. So if you're sleeping in the middle of one of those lines, you're obviously not going to get very much sleep, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's...
I don't know. I think, it's interesting. I don't know. I don't even know if what I said to you was correct, because I was reading something, but I think that the different kinds of lines have different kinds of energy in them, and so some of them could be disruptive and some of them might be really pleasing. You know, it might be really helpful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Now, a timepiece is saying the head of your bed should be on the north side for magnetic harmony. I guess I've never heard about that either. That's interesting.
Yeah, I've heard that. I don't know. But I could sleep in anywhere almost. So I just, you know. But not everybody can. I get that. So then you have to look at energies and lines and where mm-hmm. your bed would be in mm-hmm. the best placement and all that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it is.
It's all cool stuff. This is all good stuff. And, you know, we could talk about this for a long time, right? Because everybody in the chat room is just, you know, going bananas too, because there's so much stuff. There's just so much stuff going on, and everybody's talking about different things all the time. It's hard to keep track.
I know, which is awesome, because I love it when the chat room is super active like this. It's really fun.
I know.
So thank you, everybody.
Because we're trying to keep up and trying to keep the show going. It's a little difficult.
I want to sit and join the chat room, and Steph, go ahead and take over the show. I'm going to just hop in the chat room here and not do anything else.
It's too fun. Yeah, no, I know.
So, can't do that.
Oh, my goodness. But yeah, so...
Yeah, it's fun. So thank you. I think this came up last week, and we decided to work it into the schedule this week. So I think, I don't know if someone in the chat room gave this idea to us. So thank you. It was cool.
I think that's what it was. We were asking for ideas, and this was one of them for sure. So yeah, I'm glad they did because good stuff. And time warps. That was another one. They talked about time warps and sliders and. Yeah, we need to
do that one again.
Yeah, the sliders. We said we were going to do that, actually.
Yeah, maybe we should do that this week.
Yeah. So Karen is saying she recently moved the head of my bed from the north wall to the south wall, and she's sleeping better.
Ooh. Yeah. Cool. I think, it's just maybe it's how your energy relates to the energy around you that would be different, you know.
Right.
You know, because Timepiece is saying the best is on the north wall. Even though Timepiece is saying they sleep anywhere, fine, but it's best on the north. But, you know, Karen's going to the south side and saying it's all good there. So I don't know. I think it just depends on where you feel, maybe your own energy line running through your space, or if you're looking at those Hartman lines, like you're out of maybe some energy lines that you're not fully aware of, but you sense it. And so you move, you know, the position of your furniture accordingly and you feel great. So,
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think my bed is I think my house space is more northeast, so you know, my bedroom is must be like the northwest. It's kind of it's kind of cockeyed. You know what I mean? It's not specific northeast, southwest, you know. So, cuz I have the coldest room in the house, you know, it's that northwest wind that comes in there. Actually it's the northeast. It's the northeast. I'm sorry. I'm thinking wrong. So it's northeast. I don't know. Interesting, because the northwest side of the house.
We're going down another rabbit hole here.
In
the chat room, everybody's sharing where their bed is in their bedroom. And then now Sherry's saying good mirrors in the bedroom. I'm like, who puts mirrors up in their bedroom? My goodness, they're just asking for trouble then. I mean, not for that reason. I mean, talking paranormal stuff here. So just everybody relax.
I only have one mirror in my whole house, and it's in the bathroom. But, crazy stuff. This is fun.
It is.
Do you sleep standing up?
Rabbit hole. Here we come. It's a good time to wrap up the show.
It's time anyway. Oh, my goodness. Well, this was a good subject. So
whoever
suggested, I kind of think it was Karen a few weeks ago suggested it. It's been a fun. Yeah. It leads to more questions than answers for sure for us.
Yeah.
So anyway...
Yeah, so thank you. We'll go through the thank yous here for everybody that's been in the chat room chatting it up. We love it. Thank you, and all of our listeners, wherever you are, we just love you to pieces, and we couldn't do it without you. So thanks for gathering around the table with us.
Yes.
And Sarge, our most amazing producer, and everything you deal with from us and everything else. Thank you. And of course Pair X, we are so grateful to always be here every week, so thank you so much. And troops, any troops or vets or anyone in the armed forces or veteran of the forces, if you are listening, be safe and thank you for your service. We really appreciate you.
And everybody stay safe and sane and enjoy.
Yes, thank you all. Have a great night. We'll see you next week.
Night, everyone.